You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
20 minutes after 11, it is Family Matters time, and it seems like everyone who's coming to the studio today is injured. First, we had Aki with his finger. I don't know what dodgy places that finger went into. And now we've got Stephanie Dawson Crosser. How's it, Stephanie? Lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you too.
Yeah, thanks. You're recovering nicely. Day 10 after the op, eh? Shame, man.
Yes, but you know what? Crutches and painkillers, we can just about get anywhere.
Now, I don't want to release my agnostic / atheist agenda, but the moral behind her broken bones is that church can be a very dangerous place. Hey, Stephanie.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, when you want to praise
the
Lord.
Happened. She literally, to know a true story, you know how she got injured?
So here how? It goes. So I'm in a church service dancing to this praise song, Jabalani Africa, which means, I think I stand to be corrected, praise God, Africa. And I was, you can't sing that song without dancing. And then suddenly, as I was bringing my foot down, I just got this searing pain down my thigh. And there we go. A torn hip muscle. But they only, it took them.
Moral of the story, stay away from praise and worship.
Hey, Eusebius, not everybody has to pay this price, okay?
The man upstairs works in mysterious ways. Stephanie,
yeah.
I'm glad you're in painkillers. We have your familiar laughter, at least for the next 45 minutes before it wears off. What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about how to create communication in the post-divorce relationship. So after the divorce is settled, if the couple have not had children, they can seriously kind of part ways, go off on their new pathways, their new directions, and put the history behind them. But if they have created children, they are going to be forever connected as co-parents.
Because you are, I love this slogan in front of me, the marriage may be over, but we are parents forever.
Absolutely. And that's the key. And so in a healthy divorce, if it can be described as that, one of the key important outcomes of a divorce process is how the parents are going to connect, relate in their ongoing reshaped relationship.
So where does one even begin to think about what the relationship will be after the divorce? Because divorces, particularly in this country, well, the world over by their nature, but I'm thinking especially with our legal system, divorce is an inherently, like the legal system itself, adversarial process. It is acrimonious.
Yeah.
Even when there's no faults involved anymore, as they say in theory, but there are feelings involved, right? Yeah. One blame one another, you blame yourself, there's not entrana. In that kind of context, surely the last thing on the minds of Eusebius and Stephanie, as we're going through this legal stuff, is what are we going to, how will we relate the morning after?
Well, that's the crux question. And any legal professional involved in the divorce process needs to be mindful of what the law speaks to in regards to the divorce process in respect of children. And all the decisions in the divorce process need to be made in the, quote, best interests of the children, close quotes. And so around the child-related issues of the divorce, both parents are required to go into a mediated process to create something that is called and termed a parenting plan. And that needs to be a mediated process.
But I don't know. I mean, please do call in. If you've got questions, Stephanie will do her best to give you advice. Are you going through a divorce? Are you already through with the divorce? And you're now going through exactly what we're talking about today, which is to try and figure out how communication will happen as productively as possible now that the divorce is done. Are you perhaps that rare story of a couple that has managed to be civil or even more than civil? Because you are putting the child's interest at the heart of your post-divorce relationship. How has that worked out? So, you know, let's share these stories. If you've got questions, you can also put those to my guest on 021-446-0567 in Cape Town and in Johannesburg on 011-883-0702. You know, I was thinking about it when I saw this is the topic for this week, Stephanie. I was thinking to myself, just anecdotally, Unfortunately, most of the divorce stories and divorces that I've seen, or the consequence of divorce when there are children involved, they never lekker. Somehow, the divorce may be final, but the emotional breakdown that happened is almost never final. Particularly if you really loved each other, which often is the case, there's a lot of baggage there. And what I find is that sometimes, I don't know why parents are so stupid, they continue to use the child or the children as a football, even after the divorce.
And that is the most distressing part of working in this space. And whether you're a teacher in a classroom, whether you are the principal of a school, whether you are part of a social club, sport club that children go to, you can quickly pick up the children that are battling in this space. And if we take the ratio of 2 out of 3 relationships are breaking down in divorce, then that means 2/3 of every classroom, a teacher is dealing with 2/3 of the children in her class are sitting in the consequences of a divorce space. And with that comes emotional trauma and so much concern and worry about which parent they're living with, who they're going home with today, and so on. And again, so much of what happens after the divorce is dependent on how the divorce process is handled. And as with any trauma, we need support and help to get through it. Mm. And on the other side, because on the other side, we're rediscovering and recreating our own identity as a single parent, as am I a Ms. now, or do I remain Mrs.? Do I keep my ex-husband's surname or not? And all of these identity changes that are going through. But it works both ways. There's hurt and upset on both sides, whatever caused the breakdown.
What do I do practically, though? You know, is it easy for me to set aside what I saw when I walked in and saw you were Jabulani in our bed? And we got divorced subsequently. And now I've listened to Stephanie Eusebius on the wireless, and I'm desperately trying to compartmentalize myself. But of course, human beings are irreducibly complex. How do I begin to reach out to my former wife for the sake of the child? But all that comes into my head is that image that led to our divorce. And every time I see her, then my good intentions go through the window. Her and I start fighting, and the poor child is there. Neighbors are watching.
So I think you raise the what it is in reality, what it feels like in reality. And I think this is where, wherever it is possible for the individual parties to get individual support and help. They are going through, every person going through a divorce is going through a grieving process as well, simultaneously. And the grieving is over the death of the marriage, the death of the dream that they had of what life was going to be. And so they're going to go through exactly the same grief process as anybody dealing with a death.
And the dream that they had lived, you also have stored up memories that are bittersweet.
Because you look back and say, so in an ideal world, somebody will ask that the divorcee, what were the good things that came out of this marriage? And if nothing else, hopefully, each parent can say, our children.
Absolutely. Let's go to Parktown. Hello, Justine.
Hi there, and hi to your guest. This is a subject really close to my heart. And I just think that there is a lot of hurt and a lot of sadness and definite grieving. But I just know that we made a pact to put the children first in whatever situation we found ourselves. And that has really helped. It doesn't take your own pain away, but you can put that aside and deal with it privately. I think one of the hardest things is trying to hide your immense sadness from your children.
Yes.
But they do know that it's a sad thing. But I suppose I'm fortunate. We live very close by. So the kids have a very hands-on dad, and we are still a parenting unit. And we work very closely together in the best interests of the kids.
Did it take a bit of practice to get to the state where you are at now with your current attitude? I'm sure it wasn't easy initially.
You know what? It wasn't easy initially, and it's still, I still have a lot of hurt in my heart. But I think we both love our children intensely, and they definitely were one of the best things that came out of our marriage. And we just, through the process, we just made a pact that whatever they have to come first, and their best interests and their happiness. And if you can remember that and put your own bitterness, if there is any, aside, you'll be doing the best you can by your kids. And I guess that's all you can hope for.
Beautiful. It can be done. I think that's a very optimistic, lovely call. But also very hopeful. And what I particularly like is how she says, if I do still have some sadness, because you're talking about the grieving process, children can pick up on that. You don't have to pretend that you're not sad.
Exactly. And so in the process, you're teaching your children about emotional...
It's a teaching moment.
Yeah, it is a teaching moment to own your sadness. And because they're experiencing it as well. Mm-hmm. And so they also have experiences of sadness and anger around, why can't mummy and daddy live together anymore? And they also need to support, to have support to find, so what are the good things now?
Absolutely.
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
We're talking about divorce, how to have productive dialogue after divorce with your partner, particularly when there are children that have come out of that particular marriage. And our previous caller said something really important that you want to unpack and underscore, Stephanie, which is that her and her ex made a pact.
Yes. What I really want to highlight is that they made a conscious choice to bring the children center focus, that they have their hurts, they have the legacy of what came out of their marriage that brought it to an end. But whatever anger and upset they carry, they're dealing with that outside of the family space. And so I really want to highlight the choices that we do have. It may not feel that way in the moment, but actually we do have choices about how we are going to co-parent and how we are going to deal with our stuff. And it's important that we deal with our stuff separately as adults.
And to take responsibility.
Yeah.
There are rules of engagement even when war happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
Before we go back to the line, I want to give you a chance to say a little bit what you were sharing with me during the break there about how to talk to your children about your ex, because this is not just a conversation about how do I learn to have productive dialogue with my ex after the divorce. But my kids may also be asking through their silence or voicing questions about dad or about mum and what went wrong.
Well, I think the key thing is honesty at an age-appropriate level. So for me, it's really key that children understand why mummy and daddy are getting divorced, why mummy and daddy can't live together anymore, and that they are relieved, the children are relieved of any sense of responsibility that it was their fault. That is so key to how both mum and dad deal with this, and that it is their problem. It is their relationship that's gone awry, not the parent-child relationship. And so being able to talk in the best light of the other parent and bringing forward their best strengths.
I don't know if this is speaking out of turn because it implicates our personal values, but I would imagine one should also be careful about bad-mouthing your ex. Children have the memory of elephant. If they learn dad or mom as a different person to what was described by the aggrieved party that got custody, they will resent the ideas you planted in their head. I mean, I love both of my parents, but the description of my dad from my mom when they got divorced when I was only 10, her description of my dad is diametrically opposed to the man that is my father.
And I think what is key is that each parent takes responsibility for their own ongoing relationship with the children, and that each parent allows the other parent to take responsibility for that, because the truth will shine through in the end. So whatever we say about the other parent, their truth is going to shine through.
I also want us to just underscore one more point, which is the injustice you do, you might think that you are just avenging a partner that wronged you, but you're also in the process giving your child the blueprint for what kind of partner and parent they must be when they become an adult. And it's very hard, even when we try with education, lessons behind us, pop psychology, watching Dr. Phil, you know, for hours on end, we may set out to be different parents, different husbands and wives to what was role modeled to us. But those lessons are so deeply ingrained in our psyche that we can end up being mom or dad. So you also set your kids up to be you.
So what is key is coming back to core values, and that whichever parent the child is with, that you come back to, that you're teaching and living those core values rather than naming and blaming and shaming. So if there are fingers to be pointed about why the relationship is broken down, let each parent own their part of that process. At the end of the day, there were two people that committed together. There were two people that decided they needed to move apart. And how they live that out respectfully is the blueprint that we want to imprint on our children.
Okay, we've got plenty of callers. Fortunately, we've got good time, but 20 minutes. Let's see if we can get as many stories and questions and advice that we can pool as possible in the next 20 minutes. Sean in Midvale, thank you so much for calling us.
Good morning. I just want to relate a story. I'm a product of a divorce. All of my brothers and sisters are as well, I suppose. I'm now 46 years old, okay? And when my mother got divorced from my father, she would constantly talk my father down, tell us how horrible he was, how badly he'd ruined her life, and. My father, on the other hand, never said one word, and I mean not one, about my mother, good or bad. He just sucked it up. It was also quite unusual because 30-odd years ago, he was one of the very few men that actually got custody of the children. So we would go to my mother for a weekend and then come back, and we'd been indoctrinated this whole weekend about how bad my father was, and for the next 2 weeks, apparently, it was hell for him. But he never said a word. It got to a point now that, many years ago, every single one of her children, at a certain age, and it varied, some it was like 14 or 15, others it was 17 or 18, they just stopped seeing her. And I have not seen my mother for, I would say, 30-something years. My children have not seen my mother. Okay, and every single one of the children refuses to interact with her because of a variety of reasons, but one of the predominant ones was what she told us about how bad our father was, and he wasn't.
And so the wound and the scars continue generation onto generation.
Well, it's a case of my children will never see my mother. They just won't, okay? I'm not interested. But it's a case of, I don't know how I feel about it. It's not something that one thinks of on a regular basis anymore. And just this conversation that you guys are having made me think, you know what? If there are any parents actually using their children against the other partner,
absolutely,
stop it, because you're going to lose your children.
Absolutely. She is very heartbreaking.
Oh, well, thank you for
speaking. Forgiveness is a matter of grace. No one is entitled to be forgiven. I hope for her sake that Sean, exhibits that grace. Yeah. There's no duty, but that's a very real example of the impact. Let's go to Benoni. Hello, Eric. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you so much. I'm also a divorced parent, and thank God my sons, they're 24 and 18 now, and they were 14 and 11 when they got divorced. But the one thing I also want to say is I'm blessed that my ex-wife and myself, we agreed what we're going to do with the children. So the first thing was, because they were that age that they needed more father, we decided that the kids will be with me. That was number one. And number two, as the previous caller said, that we agreed we will never badmouth each other in front of the kids. And the result is that we've got two children as well. They're excellent in their careers. And what we also said, what I also told her was that if we're not going to help them, if we're going to fight with each other in front of them, we're going to create little monsters for another person to deal with. In other words, my son is going to have to sit with a wife that has to deal with a husband that might have issues. And the whole thing that we said to each other is we don't want to create two kids that's going to be a problem in the next generation. Because I don't believe children are created to take sides with parents. They're not created for that. They are created not to say who's the best. And as soon as you do that, I believe that you emotional scar comes in them, and it's very difficult to take it away. And it's important for parents to understand, children are not created to take sides. As soon as you do that, you're destroying them emotionally.
Absolutely.
And that's what we did, and thank God, we are where we are.
Beautiful.
And I'd just like to underscore that, again, it was a choice. They decided together how they were going to deal with this divorce and parenting going forward, and addressing what was in the best interests of the children.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric. What a lovely call. Jeff in Centurion. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for calling us.
I just want to talk about my relationship with my son, which it came from a broken up marriage, and he caught on to manipulating people, and he manipulated his mother against us and us against him. See? Well, we didn't really respond to it. We just got the brunt of it, you see? Me and my wife now. And it's on the emotional side, it's very bad. I came out of a house where I had five mothers, four stepmothers. And so I didn't want that. I was the victim of all this because she had a relationship. But I didn't badmouth her. In fact, he doesn't know that up to today. He doesn't know that his mother was actually guilty of all of this. So, you know, he's in one case a victim, but we also became the victim, me and my wife. Because, yeah, like I was saying, she had to say something why we got divorced. So she had to make some excuse because if she didn't do that, her present husband would say, but what actually went wrong here? What was the case here? And he might leave her then. So you see that. And I just said, you know what? I won't go that route. But I promise you, we took the brunt of it. And now, my son is a great manipulator. Terrible. It's really terrible. And he actually, like, you know, the saying is, today he actually divorced us, or me. So he left me, and he's not even seeing me anymore.
Sure.
It's terrible. What did all, I mean, I come out of a broken home, and it just continues. It's a very destructive thing. I think it's one of the most destructive forces in the world is divorce.
How are you coping now, Jeff? Obviously, you're calling in with a little bit of emotional distance while talking to us on this call, but there must be moments when it's extremely hard for you emotionally still.
Well, my son works two blocks away from my house, and he hasn't seen me for 8 months. It's painful. It is really painful. And my present wife, she tried to come close, and she got her feelings burnt as well, and she's also not coping with that. And she trusts she deserves more than that, eh? So yeah, it's very destructive. And I would say for all the people out there, The worst thing to have is good friends when you get divorced, because they just throw petrol on the fire, and you don't listen to your feelings, you listen to your friends, which, oh, like to see fire.
Sure, Stephanie.
So what I'd like to just really encourage you to do is to keep an open mind and an open heart. I know you're saying that you and your present wife's fingers have been burnt, but we need to understand that your son's behavior is a manifestation of the hurt that he has previously experienced. And so to keep the door of possibility open all the time, and to, whether it's a birthday, whether it's a public holiday, but to keep that door of invitation open.
And I think Jeff recognizes that partly when he says that basically they role modeled manipulation to the child.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's now he's got to unlearn that for himself. But he can only do that by having the possibility of reconnection, and it needs to come from him. So we have to be patient with our children, and we need to go at their pace.
Let's go to Greenstone. Mama Khadi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm fine. For me, it's more I need an advice. For me, I am a single parent. My daughter is now 8 years old. We separated. For us, it wasn't a legal marriage. It was more a lobola. And we separated. There was a child involved. We just went separate ways. I tried all along to, you know, to try get him involved in her life and all that. Eventually, I had, in the finance side of things, I had to go through the court to get a maintenance order. But that made things worse, because now when you try arrange for him to take the child, spend time with her, she'll tell you that the father is the court. So is there anything legal that I can do to try encourage him? Because for me, I mean, separation is painful, but I have healed. Time heals, but I just need him to make time at least to spend with my daughter.
So, Mahari, I'm really sorry to hear that this is a situation you're in, and the pain that it's causing you, but particularly around the pain that it's causing your daughter. And each child needs to have a bond. We're wired to need a connection and a bond to both our parents. And that's what you're trying to encourage. However, the reality is it's not something we can force. Because you've had a traditional marriage, it's still recognized in terms of the law. And what you can certainly ask is for a mediation process, and that can happen at the courts or it can happen at a private mediator. And that is where your the father of your child and you would come together to discuss essentially the core components of a parenting plan about access for your child to him. And that way, so you would be, basically it would be a facilitated, a mediated discussion to a point of agreement.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe this is a legal question that's beyond the counseling question, Stephanie, and I know nothing about family law. I'm not sure what much you know. But I assume that the heart of this matter, as you said in your first sentence to Mama Khadi, is that there's a non-legal issue here that the law can't do anything about.
And that's sadly, you can't force somebody to do what they don't want to do. So,
someone has to pay maintenance. Yeah. We know that much, right? But to show nurture, to show love, to be fully present,
to be involved. Parent.
Because I don't know how the law works, but even if the law said you must spend time with him, you know, sometimes it's a horrible thing to say. But once or twice I've been with my partner at a restaurant, you can see a person who is with the kids. Maybe it's a Saturday morning. And then I have to confess, I sometimes think to myself, that is Stephanie. This is her weekend with the kids. no conversation is passing between them.
Mm. Everybody's hooked into their phones or whatever.
Everyone is hooked into their device, yeah.
So, yes, if we open our eyes to those sort of open public spaces, it's not too difficult to see. But at the same time, you know, we don't need a certificate or a course to become a parent, and yet we still carry responsibilities. But in terms of Mamohadi's situation, I would certainly highly recommend a mediated process for the best interests of the child.
Let's go to Madrid. Hello, Peter.
Hi. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
You know, I went through divorce at the moment, and then things are not so, so good. I think it's only one of the extreme cases. Recently, my youngest child... I got an SMS, an email saying that my child is not doing well at school. And then I only found out when I went to school that morning, immediately I went to school and tried to find out from the teacher what was happening. When I went there, the teacher tells me that now my little daughter is behind with her homework and everything. She's not concentrating in class. I asked the teacher, said, no, but I don't know anything. She said, the teacher told me that, no, you know what, the aunt to my kid was there yesterday. I didn't know that the aunt was there. Why not trying to find out what the story behind? I found out my wife took out my numbers and contact numbers from the class teacher's list so that I don't have anything to do with the kids. Every correspondence that I sent to my wife, whether by email or just a note or a letter to say, no, let's deal with the divorce in this manner, she showed it to the kids. So to a point now, my eldest daughter is not talking to me at all. She thinks that I'm the aggressor in the situation because of when I asked my wife, you know what, please don't swear at me in front of the kids. Let's talk this in private. Let's talk to somebody who will understand and then try to resolve the divorce issue as soon as quickly as possible without harming the kids. He has nothing to do with that. As we speak now, you say, yes, I asked the aunt to say, no, you know what, aunt, as you see now, my wife and I were going through divorce. Isn't it best if you stay backwards and let us deal with the divorce the way we know best? You see, just I can tell you now, I'm going to court on Thursday because of my wife that I chased my the aunt away from the house because.
Oh my God, yeah.
And let me and my wife talk about the kids and everything. She doesn't hear anything about it.
Like, I'm not sure what one can do. Peter's situation is just so heartbreaking with, you know, the wife, the process of the divorce still going on, the wife obviously implanting her idea of dad in the heads of the kids, swearing in front of him.
So
it's the
in
worst
term,
scenario.
Yeah, and the children are the ones who,
caught in the middle.
Who are caught in the middle. But the fact that Peter, you're going to court on Thursday, you said, and one of the things that would typically happen in a court hearing in this context would be that you'll be sent for mediation. And I would strongly encourage you to accept that. If it's a court order mediation, your wife or soon-to-be ex-wife has to attend that. And if not, then if she refuses to, then it goes back to the court and the judge then declares where and how the children will, who the children will stay with, how they will have access to the other parent. But even the other side of the divorce, you and the mother are the legal guardians and the legal responsible. You hold equal legal responsibility. The aunt has no legal space in this dynamic. So the school needs to have your details and the mother's details and only another party as a third backup. So you hold equal space with mum.
Let's squeeze in a final call. Barry, thank you for your patience. What do you want to share with us?
Hey there. Hi. So I work as a family law mediator myself, and I'd like to applaud the callers who have really taken responsibility for their situations and for their kids. And I think to tie in with a previous conversation, where a parent does not really want to participate, there's usually some emotional momentum where it's coming from. And if we can get both parents in the same room, we can usually, with a very good success rate, work beyond those emotional blocks. And once we get the parents to actually recognize the crucial stage of development that their kids are at and how exactly their actions are going to impact on their kids, most people are actually really good parents at the core. It's really a matter of engaging them, sometimes educating, and at the same time, in law, a whole bunch of changes have been made. We are now actually approaching this problem not just from a legal perspective, but also from a social and a psychological.
That is beautiful, Barry, and that structured conversation matters. That's all we have time for, Stephanie. A very intimate conversation, as we anticipated. Thank you so much for your expertise.
Thank you.
And hopefully next time you come in here, you won't need assistance.
Exactly.